Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
Free has a seam and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. We have a good one lined up for you today. We'll preview the Blues and the Oilers with Chris Kerber at about 10:25. It's Gene Principe, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, television analyst, broadcaster for the Edmonton Oilers. Really get some insight on Ken Hitchcock. At 10:50, we're going to talk with Darren Sunkett, the head coach of the East St. Louis Flyers. He's got some present players who are really good that Illinois and Missouri want, and he has some future players that are really good that Missouri and Illinois want. So we're excited about having him. At 11:40, we're going to have Darren Sunkett at 10:50. 11:40, we're going to have Terrence Curry, the head coach at Trinity, who won a state title, and he's got some players. So if you want to get the latest on where some of these great players may be headed or which way they are leaning, we recommend you listening to the program. Plowsy is back today, and he was in Washington, D.C. How about the best two or three things you witnessed up close and personal?
My gal did surprise me on Saturday night because we were with her family most of the time because her sister lives up there. So we were sightseeing most of the first 2 days. Went on a nice little romantic dinner at Medium Rare. It's a really nice steakhouse.
Oh.
Kind of in the basement of a really old industrial building.
Oh, cool.
It was absolutely fantastic. Had some wine. I had my first salad in about 10 years, and it was fantastic. I don't eat salad. I don't like tomatoes. I don't like the greens too much, but it was great. And I think the African American History Museum was by far the best museum I went to, strictly because the Holocaust Museum, which was my go-to, it was closed on the weekends.
Wow.
Because we were going to hit that on Saturday before dinner. However, it was closed.
And the best part about those museums are no charge.
Yeah, it is free. And we got stuck with buying a map for a dollar.
Yeah.
The first one we went to, we didn't realize that the maps were a dollar, which I understand, you know. But so we
it's a cool city.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's
just so many people. So, I mean, everything is just so bustling at all times. Went out to eat on a Sunday night, and there's lines for 45 minutes to an hour long at a restaurant. I mean, that's something you don't see in a city like St. Louis. Not bashing it, it's just completely different.
Absolutely. Never goes to sleep. All right, let's begin with the opening monologue brought to you by our good friends at Gateway Motorsports Park. I was with them yesterday. Great people. They got some huge things in store for 2019. And let's begin with lap one. So all week long, we are revealing our all-time teams, okay? One each day. Today is the NFL, St. Louis professional football players in our town, our all-time St. Louis professional football team. And you all know, or if you've been listening to this program for a while, how much I love number 17, Jim Hart from SIU Carbondale, a former MVP, a guy I watched him play every game in St. Louis, sat in section 368 with my brother Doug on the left, my father on the right. And a guy who, when he retired, people forget this, he was fourth all-time in passing yards, over 31,000 yards. But Jim Hart is not making the list at quarterback because of this fella.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield, adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. And Isaac Bruce threads his way for a touchdown.
It wasn't a long career in St. Louis, But at his best, nobody ever played the position better. So Kurt Warner is our starting quarterback. Here is the rest of the team. Take notes, and you can text in and tell me how wrong I am very shortly. And you can text in on the Maryville University listener line, or Maryville University listener line for the phone call, 855-282-8255. Winning streak text line, that same number. The running backs for the all-time St. Louis professional football team. It will be, and this is going to be a good one. This is a dynamite backfield. Marshall Faulk and Terry Metcalf. Wide receivers. Now, this is really difficult. I just couldn't get to two. So I'm going with Isaac Bruce, Mel Gray, Troy Holton, Roy Green. And I put Mel Gray second there because he was the scariest. Holt, you just can't, you know, deny the numbers. And then Roy Green. Tight end, Jackie Smith. Offensive lineman. This is tough, too. Our tackles are not. Two Hall of Famers, Orlando Pace, Dan Dierdorf. The guards, Bob Young, strongest man in the league, Conrad Dobler and Tom Banks. Defensive linemen, Kevin Carter and Al Bubba Baker on the outside, DeMarco Farr and Bob Rowe on the inside. Linebackers, London Fletcher in the middle, E.J. Jr. and the tackle, Mike Jones. Secondary, can't argue with these corners, Worley and Aeneas Williams, both in the Hall of Fame. One safety is Larry Wilson, the other is Jerry Stovall. Coach, boy, this was tough. Don Coryell wins out over Dick Vermeil. Okay, so reasoning. As I mentioned, I love Hart, but Kurt was the best in the world for a stretch. I like Torrey Holt, but, and he's going to be on this list, I think Jetstream Green and Mel Gray was more dangerous. The offensive tackles of Orlando and Dan, no debate. Tough to keep Adam Timmerman off the list at guard. However, Dobler went to three Pro Bowls. Mike Jones did make the most important play in history, so he's on my team. How about three Hall of Famers in the secondary? Man, we've had some good players in the secondary. Dick Vermeil did win a Super Bowl. Don Coryell was here a little longer and didn't have as much talent. Besides, think about this. Mike Martz took Don Coryell's offense to form the greatest show on turf. Thoughts on the greatest team of all time here in St. Louis, my all-time team. All right, lap two. Barry Odom is in a good place. New contract, pretty good bowl game, and I think a pretty good shot to win nine games. Although Mike Gundy has won eight of his 12 bowl games. I just think this game means so much more to Barry Odom and the Missouri football program. OSU had this disappointing 6-6 season. Mizzou has finished strong. The recruiting looks so promising. Hey, they actually, you know, decided to have some practices 2 weeks ago. Nobody practices like right after the season when you're not going to play for a month. A lot of teams don't do that, but Odom's teams enjoy it.
That's one thing with this team, and every team's different, but they do. They enjoy the, you know, competing against each other. They practice the way that you're supposed to. Whatever we put out in front of them, they go and attack it, and I admire that and respect it from them.
All right. Then as soon as the future first-round draft pick Drew Locke plays his last game as a Tiger on New Year's Eve in beautiful Memphis, Tennessee, Kelly Bryant will slide in, all 6'3" and 225 pounds of him. Odom told us yesterday about the recruitment.
I just think that, you know, anytime you get into recruiting, and you know, you can't do it by yourself. It takes everybody within the organization to make it work. And you know, we were all hands on deck, like we are with most of our recruits. And once, you know, finally we got the opportunity to get him on campus, and once we are able to do that, then our percentages of getting guys goes way up. And you know, he's able to get here and see things through his own lens and walk the walk and see everything that we had talked about, the vision and the opportunity that's there. He was able to see it with his own eyes, and I think that's where we made up a lot of ground. And then, you know, the continuing from that moment of building a real relationship, you know, he wasn't into, you know, some of the younger guys coming out of high school, some of the things that they're into, the uniforms and into that, and everybody's a little bit different. Kelly was not into any of that, and he wanted to sit here and talk ball and get into really understanding what we're looking for out of the quarterback position. And so it was, you know, it was a process that took a lot of different turns throughout the course of it. But at the end of the day, I think our relationships that we built over time really probably want it out for us.
Boy, I can't wait to see Kelly Bryant. I can't wait to see what they do with this offense. It's not like Missouri hasn't had an unbelievable running quarterback in the past. Brad Smith was just so special to watch. But boy, it's been that drop-back thrower lately, and now we're going to see an unbelievable runner. Look what Lamar Jackson's doing in the NFL, by the way. All right, lap three. Cardinal baseball. So the Cardinals have a manager that is accessible and doesn't mind speaking his mind. He was our guest yesterday, Mike Schilt. The strength of this team, the starting staff. You try to tell me, folks, how you get five out of this. I mean, what five you select? Reyes, the talent. Michaelis, the stats. Flaherty, the future. Martinez, the stuff. Waino, the legend. Waka, the changeup. There's six right there. And then, Austin Gomber, Hudson, Ponce de Leon, Gant. They all had special moments this year. What about it, Mike Schilt?
Yeah, it's a great problem to have, and you know, it's not really a problem. It's a great challenge, really. And you know, all those guys are talented. We're dealing at a position of strength, which is always good. To the depth, you know, point made earlier about the outfield. And listen, I mean, you know, we prove, and hopefully, we don't have the case where we have anybody go down or have any injury or any performance issues. And you know, that's the ideal world. And, the reality is, we don't live in that ideal world. So having that depth is critical, and you know, to be able to, you know, have a conversation about the challenges of it at this moment. I mean, right now we're just pleased with, you know, the opportunities, and you know, they're enjoying their off season. They're getting ready to get going, and they're chomping at the bit. And those guys will, you know, get there in February, and we'll sort it out as we go.
Here's the other thing I really like about Mike Schilt. It's the way he keeps in contact with his players in the off season.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, I love our guys. You know, we got a great group, and enjoy the relationships, and our coaches and myself are, you know, staying in touch with them, and just communicating thoughts and getting their thoughts, and you know, making sure we're on the same page with them, and you know, trying to help them be the best versions of themselves. So yeah, you know, Paul DeJong was in town recently for Luke Voigt's wedding. We caught up, had some lunch, and it's good to catch up with him, and you know, try to spend some time on the phone with the guys, you know, once a month or so, and you know, just to stay connected and be available for him.
Boy, he has all the makings to being a successful manager, and getting along with people, and being an encourager certainly doesn't hurt. All right, lap four. Could the Los Angeles Rams be blowing this thing? Have they been exposed? Is Jared Goff just average? Is their defense below average? Did either of you guys see the video on Twitter of Marcus Peters going into the stands and going at it with a fan? Look, I know fans can get really brutal, and there's only so much a guy could take. But if you're a professional, you got to just blow that off. You cannot risk, you know, screwing up. He's a knucklehead, too, with multiple suspensions. You can really score on them. There is no question about that. I think Sean McVay is going to figure out things and get Goff going again. But it is 7 picks and 1 touchdown pass in his last 3 games. This is the Goff from his rookie year. And that defense, wow. Bottom line, that doesn't look like a team that could go to New Orleans and win a game in the Super Bowl. But I got to tell you, as I found out painfully in fantasy football last night, Drew Brees doesn't look like Drew Brees either. And because of that, I'm eliminated in one league. Gosh, I needed him just to be reasonable, and he was just terrible. All right, lap five. Not terrible, but he just didn't help me in fantasy. A quick word about our radio station. You know, we never talk about our radio station. I just want to say this. We're in a pretty good place right now. Almost everybody on the air here talking sports actually goes to games, goes to practices, spends time with players and executives in our town. And whenever there's a big sporting occasion going on in our town, whether it's John Mozeliak's season-ending press conference, the Goldschmidt announcement, the 1-2-3 club lunch where we interviewed everybody from Costas to JJK, we're there. We have weaknesses, lots of them, but our group from the morning, Plowsy, Iggy, Tim, Doug, Jim, mid-morning, Brian, Martin, and Charlie, Matt Rocchio with Bob, TJ, and John, solid. We have some pretty good chemistry going here, too. In fact, it's so good that I was disappointed that Plowsy may be going to an earlier shift and won't be with us as much in the future because he's a part of this family. We rarely talk about it, but we have some good things going for us. We actually cover events. We try to book good guests and make good radio. So good work by our radio station. All right, lap six, stream of consciousness. As you may know, I am not much of a drinker. Every once in a while, I'll mention on the air, I had a career-high 3 drinks last night. So anyway, there is a wine out there. And we've been to these Christmas parties, and I don't buy expensive wine. But I've been exposed to an expensive wine on back-to-back nights at 2 different houses. And it's the same wine that was served, a Camus Cabernet Sauvignon. It just... like, wow, this is what really expensive and good wine tastes like. I could become a wino. I mean, I had to take some aspirin last night because I knew I was going to have a headache. It was unbelievable. Fantasy football, I think it's fitting that we're going to try to win a championship with the guy who's been on my team like every year. Every year in the draft, it's like the 8th or 9th round, I take Phillip Rivers. And now I got the good Phillip Rivers, so we're excited. We'll try to win a championship with Phillip Rivers as our starting quarterback. And speaking of Rivers, have you heard of this story about Austin Rivers? Okay, so it's no big deal. He was traded to Phoenix, and he doesn't want to report. So he's going to be waived, and he's going to try to get on with a veteran team because Phoenix is going nowhere, and you don't need an old guard there. You want to go young. But the thing that really got me was Austin Rivers is averaging 7 points and 2 assists, okay? And he's been kind of like that his whole career. He's an okay player, good enough to stay in the league, but not good enough to ever start in the league on a consistent basis. You know how much money he's making? $12.5 million a year. How is that possible? I mean, Paul Goldschmidt is like one of the best players in the league, okay? And he makes 14.5. I mean, quarterbacks, you know, some of them make 12, really good ones. How does this happen in the NBA? I've never figured this out, how just mediocrity can be rewarded with these incredible numbers. I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about Otto Porter making $26 million. It's just insane. I don't know how the NBA does it. And they don't have a TV contract like the NFL. They just have a great union, I guess. It's insane. All right, those are some of my thoughts. Let's hear some of yours. If you'd like to be a part of the program, Maryville University has the listener line. I was with Lonnie Folks last night. The Sports Commission had a party, and Lonnie was there. He's an outstanding athletic director. He's got great coaches lined up in every sport. Baseball, soccer, basketball. Maryville's really got some good sports going right now, and we're pleased that they are with us. We are also pleased that Chris Kerber is with us on game day mornings for the Blues. They're in Edmonton tonight, and he joins us now. Chris, good to be with you. How are you?
Frank, I'm doing good up here. How are you doing?
Real good. After you, signed off on Sunday and you put the headset down, and you're walking out, what was your first thought when you look back at what you saw?
Honestly, the first thought was I got to get home in a hurry because Christy had some people over and I was cooking the steaks.
Okay.
So then the second thought was I still hope that this team has a way to turn it around. They're just it's baffling. They've got there is too much talent and there's too much experience for this team to constantly be playing like they're playing sometimes. So. Not as juicy of an answer maybe as you would have thought, but that's really what, you know, you go into every game saying, and I'm that way today going, all right, let's go see what we see. And, you know, maybe this team can figure something out.
Can you anticipate any changes, in terms of lines or pairings or even dressing out tonight?
You know what? We'll see. The team's going to head to the rink in about 40 minutes here. We're an hour behind you now in Edmonton. And, so I don't anticipate too many. There's a chance I could see, you know, maybe Zach Sanford getting in there. But, you know, the thing of it is unless it's for a Robert Thomas, so I think they're pretty happy with his play the last couple of games. And I think that lad, the fourth line with Nolan and Barbashev and Sundquist has been really good. I'm not sure where he fits in. I don't anticipate any defensive changes into the lineup compared to what they had there. So I think this is kind of the group that you're going with.
How would you just an analysis of Vladimir Tarasenko's season?
Not good enough, in all fairness. I think he puts a lot of pressure on himself. I know he does. I've had conversations with him about it. I know he puts a lot of pressure on himself. He knows his job is to score. I think he's gone 7 games now without a point. But what really kind of jumps off the page with you, and this is not always an individual stat, but in the first 4 games of that 7-game run, he was -9. And that's something that really grabs you, too. So it's a situation where he's having one heck of an off year, maybe the worst year he's had to date, and it's coming at a bad time for the St. Louis Blues. They need to get him going. And I know Craig Berube has felt all along that if we can get this guy scoring some goals, we can go on a roll. And they just haven't been able to do it yet. But, you know, even as much as he is a shooter and a goal scorer, he's almost dead even in his career in goals and assists, Frank. And he's not picking up the assists right now either. And so that's also what's a bit alarming.
What's also been alarming is Pat Maroon, who had a 27-goal season a couple of years ago, comes here in the prime of his career, and he struggled offensively, sitting there with 1 goal.
Yeah, he hasn't had the season he's wanted to, and I think he's put so much pressure on himself coming home and finally getting to play for the Blues and in front of his son and all that, all the stuff there. And I don't know that he's ever quite relaxed in there. But, you know, when you do talk to him, you do sense the calm and that this team could use with him. And you just kind of hope he gets it going. And for him, it's going to be on the special team side. Solid defensive play when he gets, you know, 12, 15 minutes a game. And then on the power play, pick up some points. And, you know, lately that just hasn't really happened for him. But he's one of many, Frank. There's just a lot of guys that have not been able to get their season on track the way they wanted to, and that's why the result it is. And I do think, and you understand this with all the sports you've covered, I think a lot of it has to do with understanding and accepting roles. We talked about it at the beginning of the year. You've got a lot of guys coming in that are used to playing some key minutes for teams, and you only have a certain amount of those available. Are guys going to accept roles that they can play? Are guys going to just fit in the role and do what's needed to do from a team standpoint? And if you have early season success, I think guys are more willing to do that. The fact that they haven't had early season success makes that task a little bit harder.
Wasn't Jake Allen's fault entirely on Sunday, but do you think there's any chance Binnington would get the call?
No, I think you got to put Jake back in there right now. I mean, if you put Binnington in right now, then you're putting that game on Jake, and that would be a huge miscarriage of justice on that one. So, no, Jake's got to be the guy tonight.
And any progress on the injured players? Anybody we could be seeing back soon?
Yeah, actually, there's some good news. Alex Pietrangelo's on the trip with the hockey team, and the only reason he'd be coming is to get some practices in with the team. Now, he can't play until after Christmas anyway because of the long-term IR, but there's some great news there, and Robbie Fabry continues to get close as well. So maybe sometime shortly after Christmas, we get a chance to see both those guys in there.
Good stuff. Chris, we will be listening tonight. We appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Frank, have a great day today. Talk to you on Thursday.
Thursday, yes, sir. Chris Kerber joining us. Brought to you by Petromart. Petromart is a locally owned and operated family business that's been serving the St. Louis area for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next. With 50 locations to serve you in a hurry, Petromart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items like hot and ready pizza, fresh fruit, and salads. Petromart has something for everybody, and it's always prepared fresh and available around the clock. Petromart is a proud sponsor of Phillips 66 Gasoline and a proud sponsor of the St. Louis Blues. A proud sponsor of this program is the Bomarito Automotive Family. They are Missouri's number one automotive group. How about that? Shop their brands, Audis, Infinities, Cadillacs, Buicks, GMCs, Chevys, Fords, Hondas, Volkswagens, Mazdas, Nissans, Toyotas. It's just unbelievable what they do. They sell every car imaginable. There's a reason they are number one in the state of Missouri. And they'll donate the first $5,000. Or they're donating a portion of these sales during the holiday season to great St. Louis charities. So we appreciate them being a part of the program. We're going to find out everything you've always wanted to know about Ken Hitchcock, but we're afraid to ask when we come back a little bit later. Darren Sunkett on Mizzou football recruiting and Illinois football recruiting. We'll be right back.